Well, good morning. It's good to see you and good to be in the house of the Lord. And I hope that you're having a good Sunday on this warm spring day here in Iowa. Will it ever get warm? I do not know. I have some pet peeves, though, I'd like to talk about. Why is it the only pothole they fill in this town is the one right by the post office there? Do they not see the rest of the road there? The main street? I don't know. Can anybody who has connections here in town, can you get them to fill the potholes? Help me out here. Help us out. So, in terms of announcements, this is a great conference coming up. It's online conference on discipleship and missions. It's at a big church in Austin, Texas, and you can log on to the website and then register for the conference. It's free, and they're going to have some great speakers there, talk about some great things that God is doing in local communities today, in and around the world, discipleship. And I just encourage you to, maybe you can't watch the whole thing, maybe you can just check in for a speaker or two, but it will be well worth your time to do that. Also, next week we have a couple, Bob and Pam Clemens, coming from Boone, Iowa, near Ames. They go to Cornerstone Church there, and they're missionaries to the Lakota tribe in South Dakota. And they're going to talk after service next week about what they do there and show us opportunities that we might have to help them and partner with them in ministry to that tribe there in South Dakota. So I encourage you to mark that time aside next Sunday after church if you can. That would be fantastic. So let's jump right in. We are in the middle of a series entitled Necessary Sins. Necessary Sins. And so far we've talked about lying. We've talked about gossip. We're going to talk about today's subject of lust, and next week we're going to talk about anger. And what is a necessary sin? Well, there are some sins that everyone in the world would agree are wrong. The big ones, murder, rape, stealing. And then there are other sins that society would say are acceptable, a little more understandable, perhaps even necessary. However, just because society says they're okay doesn't mean they're acceptable in the eyes of God. So before we go any further, let's pray that God would prepare our hearts, open our hearts to this message, that we would be receptive to it. Let's pray the prayer that we've been praying at the beginning of every message in this series that David prayed in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. David says this: "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Well, today's subject or topic is lust, and people would say that's no big deal today, right? Besides, God just made us that way. All men struggle with lust. Let me just be clear right from the start. It's not just a man issue, but a human being issue. And even though men are more easily tempted, women are also hooked. According to a study from today's Christian Woman magazine, one out of six women are addicted to porn. If we look at Covenant Eyes, maybe you have that on your computer as a monitor to show what websites you go to or don't go to. They've tracked that for people as an accountability system. They say actually it's higher. 20% of women today are addicted to online porn. And for men, how about for men? Conservative studies say that it's actually 50% of men struggle with it in a host of other issues. But here might be the real kicker. The highest users are 12 to 17-year-olds. The highest users are 12 to 17-year-olds. So if you have children in your household, this should have your full attention. And you may say, well, Ed, why are you so concerned? Why are you so concerned? And I would say this, because the access to feed our sexual lust today has never been higher. It's never been higher, and it's never been easier. You can get on any mobile device and see anything you want to see or you don't want to see. A couple weeks ago, as I was laid up here, I was researching boxers to wear under swim trunks. And you're like, Ed, you are weird. Yes, I know I'm weird. I don't know, I just get on with stuff, and you're like, I can't swim for 4 more months. So anyways, that's what I was doing. So the next time Monica got on the computer, she said, why are there ads on the side of the computer for guys in boxers everywhere? I don't want to see this. And I was like, oh, sorry, yeah, I don't know. You know, that's my fault. Why else am I concerned? Because tolerance to lust issues has never been higher. The other night, Monica was DVRing a new family show on NBC, and we had seen the previews, and it looked kind of cute, looked kind of funny, and so she DVR'd it. It was rated PG, and with 5 minutes, the couple were in bed with their clothes off, and we're like, oh my goodness, we can't watch this stuff. Some will argue, well, I'm not hurting anyone. I'm not hurting anyone. Besides, no one even knows about it. Let me just say this for the record. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, you're off the hook. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, you're off the hook. What I'm going to teach you doesn't apply to you. You're not supposed to live according to the teaching of Jesus. But if you are a Christian, that is, you're a follower of Jesus, you believe that he died on the cross for your sins and that he rose again on the third day, you've made that profession of faith that he's your personal Lord and Savior, then you and me have to take the words of Jesus seriously. And what did he say in Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 and 28 there, the Sermon on the Mount? He said, You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So Jesus says, if you just check out a woman and you begin to gaze and notice her features, and that leads to lust, then you're actually committing adultery in your heart. And not only is it wrong, but we'd have to agree with James, the brother of Jesus. What did he say? James 1, verses 17 or 14 and 15, he says this: temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and sin, when it is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. And you may say, death of what? Purity, intimacy, trust, and ultimately, spiritual death. Let me just say that again. If you continue to feed your lust, you will end up with a void of intimacy, a void in the depth of relationship, and a void in your spiritual life, in your spiritual walk with the Lord. It will rob you of intimacy, purity, and trust, and ultimately spiritual death in all of these areas. Now, the word entice here, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. The word entice in this verse is actually a fishing term. We got any fishermen here today? People like to fish? Yeah. Right? It's a fishing term. That which leads to lust is our spiritual enemy's bait. That's his bait to get us in, to get us hooked, so to speak. We think it will fill the emptiness and will keep us from feeling perhaps bored. And so we go after it and we get hooked or dragged away and enticed. Now, how do we get hooked? How exactly do we get hooked? Well, I would say first we're exposed to some type of sexual impurity. And maybe it happened to you as a child, as a little kid, you were exposed. And it could be something like, let's play doctor. You show me yours, I'll show you mine. And all of a sudden, you're now robbed of your innocence. Or it could be, as a child, you were abused. Maybe you were abused by someone you trusted or as an authority figure. Or it could be that your friend discovered his dad's Playboy magazines. And when you guys got together and you looked and you said, I know I shouldn't be looking, but I like this and I don't know why. Or maybe you're surfing online, you click on an ad that leads to another ad, and all of a sudden you see something you weren't supposed to see. It can happen as innocent as that. So first, we're exposed. How are we hooked? We're exposed to some type of sexual impurity. Second, we're injured. We're injured. Something in our thought process, something in our minds is not the same. We've, in fact, sustained an injury of the mind, so to speak. So we're injured. Third, that leads to confusion. It leads to confusion. If you're like a lot of people will say, I simultaneously feel joy and shame at the same time. I like this, but I feel guilty. And then you're like Paul in Romans chapter 7. Paul said what? I know the good I ought to do, but I don't do it. And then what happens? We become skilled at justifying it, right? If you're single, you're saying, you know what? I'm single, and it doesn't matter much now because I'm single, or now I'm married, but my spouse isn't meeting my needs. If they were meeting my needs, I wouldn't have to look at this or see this or do this. He or she doesn't know, so it's really not hurting anyone. And then one day you're in church, you get convicted by God's Spirit, and you say, you know what, I'm never going to do that again. I'll never do that again. And then 4 days later, what happens? You do it again. Some of you know what I'm talking about. All the holy people are like, what? What's he talking about? All the real people are like, yeah, Ed, keep talking. We're with you. Right? Sometimes you might have great periods of sexual sobriety, and then you'll go on binges. What happened? Well, you're confused, right? I'm single, and I thought when I got married, this would go away. Now that I'm married, it hasn't gone away. I must have a passion problem, right? I got a passion problem. That's what I have. That must be what it is. No. You're dealing with an injury that hasn't been healed. You're dealing with an injury that hasn't been healed. You've been wounded by your spiritual enemy. Your mind has not changed. It hasn't been renewed. And so you're therefore, you're not healed. Your mind has not changed. It hasn't been renewed. And therefore, you're not healed. How about some examples or stories of this process, this exposure, this injury, and this wound? How about some stories? Let me share some stories that I found here on the internet. I'm a wife, a mother, and a Christian who masturbates and watches online porn. I'm a wife, a mother, and a Christian who masturbates and watches online porn. I'm so ashamed. And yet it seems totally separate from whom I am. I want to be free, but I also enjoy it while being sickened at the same time. Now that I've confessed it, I'm going to vomit. Man, you can just hear the injury, the wound, and the confusion in her words. How about another story? This guy says, I've struggled with porn for many years. I'm so sorry and ashamed of myself. I've now gone way beyond porn. These things are not attractive to me, but I've distorted my mind for so many years that I've become bored with regular sex. Please pray for me. Man, you can just hear it in this guy's words, the wound, the confusion. One more story about a guy leading a double life. My wife and kids have no idea, but I'm secretly attracted to men. It started when an older boy touched me in junior high, and it followed me through life. I have recently been lying to my wife and doing things that would just devastate her. I want to tell her, but I'm afraid she'll divorce me. I don't want to lose my family. This guy has been exposed, injured, and confused. So what do we do? What do we do? Do we justify it and say, you know, this is just the way that I am? It's a necessary sin. Or do we believe Jesus? What did Jesus say? Jesus said it's wrong, it's dangerous, and it's destructive. He declares, if we know him, we can be set free. He declares that if we know him, we can be set free. Do you surrender to it, or do you believe there's something better? I'm here to tell you that there is something better, and there is a way out. In fact, let me give you two words to help you heal. Two words to help you heal. First, protect. Protect. We're going to protect the wound. How are we going to protect the wound? Psalm 119, verse 9 says this, how can a young person stay pure? How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. Keep distance, a far distance, between that which would tempt you. In fact, Jesus says this in Matthew 5:29. You know the verse. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Now, is Jesus being literal? I sure hope not, because there'd be a lot of us walking around here next week with one eye, right? You've got to do everything you can to stay away from that which would tempt you. When Paul talks about sin in the Bible, when he talks about sin in general, he says to fight it. He says to resist it. But when Paul talks about sexual sin, he says to flee from it. To flee from it. Run from it like Joseph. Run, Forrest, run. All right? Now, I don't know what you're going to have to do to protect yourself. I can tell you some of the things that I do to protect myself. I have covenant eyes that monitors all our electronic devices. In other words, whatever site I visit, it sends that website to my best friends in ministry so that they can confront me and say, Ed, what were you doing on the site? I was looking at men's boxers. You know, they can ask me about it. They can see it, and, you know, they can check up on me. On our TV, we don't have anything rated over PG-13. By the way, just because it's PG-13 doesn't mean it's good. I mean, it's hard to watch PG today. But I mean, Monica has the code, and everything on our TV is blocked. And you say, well, Ed, are you that weak? And I'd say, no, I'm that smart. All right? 364 days, I'm not weak. But if I am vulnerable, I have systems set up in place in case I am. Now, I don't know what it might be for you. Maybe you decide, you know what? I can't travel alone anymore. Right? When I travel, I can't travel alone anymore. Or I can't go to a certain gym because every time I go to that gym, the women have no clothes on at that gym. Right? Or the guys, they have no clothes on at that gym. Or you may have to learn to bounce your eyes, right? You walk into places, you're just looking all up. People might think you're crazy. Right? Craig O'Shell tells this story. They were in Florida once, driving down the intercoastal in a boat, and this girl had flashed them from another boat, and he said all the guys in the boat immediately looked the other way, and he goes, I bet that lady has a complex now. Right? So you may have to learn to bounce your eyes. You may need to get rid of certain books or magazines, right? Certain magazines. They might have some ads that are just like, man, that is way too much. Right? And I know that ad's going to be in there, and hey, I'm just, man, nothing is too drastic. Maybe you're here today and you've been feeling the weight of this message, and it's penetrating your heart, and it's hitting you deeply, and you're starting to get down on yourself. And you know what? You're saying to yourself, I've been a Christian for so long, and yet I still struggle with this. You know what? That's okay. It's a sign you haven't been defeated yet. There's still fight in you. You know what the problem is? The problem is when you surrender to it and say, I just give up. That's when the problem is. I love this verse in Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. Paul says this, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. You continue to run from it, right? You continue to have an attitude of, what, you know what? I haven't been defeated yet. I am not giving up. I like the way the New Living translates that verse 13. It says, God will give you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. And I pray that prayer in a lot of areas of my life. God, give me the desire and the power, not only in this area, but in every other area of my life. Give me the desire and the power to do what pleases you. Because I don't always have the desire to do what's right or to want to please you. So Lord, change me. Man, that's a great prayer to pray. Now, what happens if you're on the receiving end of a confession? Okay, forgiveness happens when we ask God to forgive us. Healing happens when confession takes place. When we talk to another brother or sister in Christ, man, I pray that you have someone in your life that you can be real with and just say, you know what? I got to get this off my chest. It might be this, it might be another area. But I pray. That's why we have small groups. You know, some people might say, man, people are weird. They meet twice a week. They go to church and then they meet every 2 weeks in people's homes. Why do we have small groups? So that you can make some friends. So that you can share some deeper things in your life with them. Things that really matter. Eternal things of significance. So when you're struggling in an area, you can grab a brother or sister and they can pray for you. You can get something off your chest. So what happens if you're on the receiving end of a confession? Man, don't look at them like they're a loser. Because realize this, there's someone who has been injured and they're hoping to be healed. There's someone who's been injured and they're hoping to be healed. Maybe you're going to confess to someone today, this afternoon, tonight. You're going to confess to somebody. Now, don't beat yourself up. I'm a no good loser, pervert, jerk. No. You've been injured and you're looking to be healed by God. Right? You've been injured and you're looking to be healed by God. So, the first word to help you heal is protect. We're going to protect the wound. The second word is pursue. Pursue. Don't just have a good defense, but a good offense. Now, I want you all to close your eyes for a moment. Some of you are like, I already got them closed. I'm sleeping. I hope you're not sleeping today. If you're sleeping today during this message, there's something wrong with you. You should have your full attention. You should be, man, talking about sex in church. I go to a good church. All right, so close your eyes for a minute. Everybody, close your eyes for a minute. Okay, don't think about a pink elephant. Don't think about a pink elephant. Close your eyes. All right, open them. Should be on the screen. Why do you see a pink elephant? Two reasons. One, because I told you not to think about it. And second, because it's up there on the screen. If you continually say to yourself, don't have lustful thoughts, don't have lustful thoughts, guess what? You're going to have lustful thoughts. So what do you need to do? You need to redirect your thoughts. You need to redirect your thoughts. Think about the Lord. Man, as soon as I feel like those feelings are coming, that Satan, listen, I don't know, sometimes people think, well, pastors are immune to all this stuff. Man, I tell you what, I'm a guy and I'm not immune, okay? And so as soon as I feel those thoughts or those feelings, man, I begin to quote scripture. 2 Corinthians 10:5, Paul says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You got to take that thought captive. Grab that thought. Take it captive. Make it obedient to Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 13, verse 14. Rather close yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Man, you need to write that down. You need to memorize that. Commit it to memory so that when you begin to even think about it, you quote that verse right away. You have it ready. Paul says this in Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, if anything is admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, think about such things. See, we constantly have to renew our minds. Romans 12 verse 2 says this, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'll tell you, that box at home that we have, it's from Satan. It's from Satan. And I really wrestle with it because it is hard to watch TV today. I mean, I can see the whole act in a commercial during my sporting event, which I cannot wait to watch today at 2:30. Michigan State. Oh, please win the Big Ten championship. Yeah, man, it's so hard to watch TV. And we become so overexposed and desensitized. And, you know, I think of what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, the eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. Right? And we look. Man, pray that a Hardee's commercial doesn't come on TV, right? You've seen the Hardee's, you know what I'm talking about. It's terrible. It's terrible. I know I'd be a better person if I didn't have cable TV. And I mean, everything's blocked on the TV. This is trash. That's why you got to renew your mind with God's word. I mean, you put garbage in, you get garbage out. So, I mean, make yourself a pact. for every half an hour of TV, I'm going to read my Bible for a half an hour, you know? You got to renew your mind, refresh your mind, think about things that are pleasing to God, stay in His Word, because it's a battle. We're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual powers of this world. Why do we look and fool around before marriage? Why do we look and fool around before marriage? We're bored. We're empty. We want to fill the void. Man, you're settling for a counterfeit. You're settling for a counterfeit. God has something better for you. You were separated from the life God intended. You're saying, what life did God intend for me? A life with another person, one person. Society will say, that's crazy, man. You got to drive the car before you buy it. Yeah, that's a lot of fun, right? Looking over your shoulder, afraid of getting caught, regrets. I want to have a relationship of purity, intimacy, absolute trust with one person. Right? Society will look at you and say, man, you're weird. You're crazy. I don't care what society says. I only care what God thinks. I'm not trying to win anybody's approval. The only person I care about pleasing is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's all that matters. Who cares what your friends think? Think you're weird. You know, the times I'm most vulnerable are the times when I stop pursuing God. Right? I'm not pursuing Him. That's the times I'm most vulnerable. Let me tell you this. No matter where you are today, you can be set free. You can be set free today no matter where you're at today. The fact that you're still struggling means you haven't been defeated yet. And there's no sin that's too great for the grace of God. There's no sin that His blood does not cover. That He can't restore you and make you whole again, pure and as white and clean as snow. This is the final words I want to leave you with there, and the last words on your bulletin there in the back, the fill in the blanks. He forgives you and He loves you. Oh man, I mean it. He does. He forgives you and He loves you. Man, He wants the best for you. He does. He's not some killjoy who is looking to just make sure you have no fun in life. Man, He created sex. And sex in the right context is great, right? Sex inside the fireplace, inside of marriage is awesome. And it gets better with practice. Right? I'm glad Monica's upstairs today. Oh, man. Let's just end on the note. Man, He forgives you and He loves you. He has a wonderful plan for your life. He wants the best for you. He really does. Let's pray. Jesus, Lord, we thank You for Your word. Lord, I don't know what thoughts are running through people's minds here this morning, but I know that You know. You know everything about us. Your word says You know when we sit and when we stand, when we get up, go down, when we lie at bed at night. Psalm 139, it says You know everything about us. And yet You still love us. And I look at the things in my life, in this area in particular, and the regrets I have. I thank You for dying on the cross for my sins, past and present and future, because I know that I'm not immune to this, and at a moment's notice, Satan can try to grab hold of my heart and take me in a direction that I don't want to go. Maybe you say, Ed, that's me. I've been going in a direction that I know is not good for me, I know is not right, and I don't want to go down that road. Some of those stories you shared, Ed, I can relate to. Maybe not the whole story, but there was a bit in the story or a part of the story where, like that lady, I felt joy, and at the same time I was sickened and I wanted to throw up. Would you pray for me, Ed? Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Ed, I'm not a Christian, and I've been trying to do this in my own power and in my own strength to overcome this, and I cannot do it. And you can't. You can only do it by the power of His Holy Spirit living in you. And so if that's you, you say, yeah, Ed, I want Jesus. I came in here today not a Christian, but I realize after hearing this message, yeah, the world we live in today is not right. I'm not right, and I need Jesus. I want Jesus. And so with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you'd like to ask Jesus to be your personal Lord and Savior, then I invite you softly and quietly to repeat these words in your heart after me. And here they are. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to come into my heart and change me and make me like you. Now, maybe you're here this morning, you're a Christian, but you say, Ed, I need that prayer because I'm just starting to go down a road that I know I shouldn't go down a road, or I'm walking that tightrope or that line trying to see how close I can get to it. I'm single or I'm married and I need some help. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray that they do business with you. That is, that they'd just talk with you now during the hymn of invitation, that they'd ask you to forgive them. I know that you will. Your word says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And I pray that they take the next step for healing, full healing and recovering to take place. I pray that you place a brother or sister in their life that they can confess this to and that would love them, hug them, support them and pray with them and may even say, you know what, I'm with you because I'm there too. I pray for that person, for them. Pray for your will to be done in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.